Thank you very much for the special. Without any further ado, I'll give you our speaker of the hour, my father, Jim Yates.
Am I on? Finally. Good evening. We'll start off with a verse from 1 Nephi 5:131, page 57. It's just one short verse. 1 Nephi 5:131. He that loveth those who have him to be their God. And so you understand that I want to speak a little bit about love. There are several days throughout the year that we celebrate on expressing our love for others. One of those days is today, Mother's Day. But this is not a Mother's Day sermon. To celebrate today, as many other days of the year, a lot of money is spent for candy, for cards, letters, flowers, to give someone that is special to us. And generally speaking, we can't receive too much of the right kind of love. But it is, however, possible not to receive enough. I remember watching a program on TV years ago. It's a medical situation with in the nursery and newborn babies. And they was having some problems with some of these babies. They was afraid they're going to lose them. Because some of the nurses started taking those babies and sitting down and holding them and loving them. And those babies started getting better. So they found a bunch of volunteers, of ladies that would come in and hold those babies and cuddle them and love them. And it wasn't long till they went home. Otherwise, they was going downhill. I recall there's an old saying that love makes the world go round. And if we stop and think about it for a minute, we realize just how true that really is. Love seems to be connected with everything that's good that happens to us. I wonder what the world would be like if the whole world was like it is in the Middle East today. All the slaughter and destruction that goes on, say in Syria, other places in the Middle East, destruction of their own people, promoting terror for the rest of the world, all because they read and believe in a book called the Quran that teaches hate, not love. If you believe in these two books, or if you claim to be a Christian, you're on their list for destruction. You are labeled an infidel and deserve to die. We are lucky to live in the part of the world that believes in these books that teach love, not hate. Webster tells us that an infidel is a non-believer. I say that those who believe in the Quran are the infidels. They are people that believe and follow the teachings of a false prophet, Muhammad. Wouldn't it be great if we were able to live as the people did in this country in the first 200 years after Christ had been among them? They lived in peace and prosperity. Yeah. Why did they live that way? Because the love of God was taught to them during that time. Let's go to 4th Nephi, page 683. First chapter. I'm going to read the 17th to the 21st verse. Page 683. And see what we can find there. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land, because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there was no envyings, nor strife, nor tumults, nor whoremongers, nor lyings, nor murderers, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who have been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any other ites, manner of ites, but they were one. They were in one, the children of Christ, heirs to the kingdom of God. How blessed they were, for the Lord did bless them and all their doings, yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. Now let's go back to the beginning of time. Go to Genesis. Second chapter. Genesis, second chapter, and I'm going to start in the seventh verse. And I'm going to read the 7th and the 18th, and then jump to the 20th. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should live alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And the Lord God, verse 21, And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made woman. And he brought her unto the man. We see through the love of God here, the love he had for the man that he created. He had compassion and love for him. He didn't want him to live alone, so he created woman for him. From this union, Adam and Eve had children to love as well. If we continue on in Genesis, we find another man whom God loved. His name was Abraham. Now, Abraham must have been a man who loved his fellow man very much. For when the Lord told him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin, he pleaded for their lives. He asked if the righteous were to be destroyed along with the wicked. Now let's refresh our memory on this story and go to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, I'm going to start at the 20th verse. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces towards thence, and went towards Sodom. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near, and he said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place because of 50 righteous therein? That be far from thee, and after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous should be as the wicked, and far from thee. Shall not judge all the earth do right. And the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Peradventure that there be lack 5 from the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake again. He spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, that there shall be 40 found there. And he said, will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O Lord, and he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but once. This once. Preadventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. How it must have grieved Abraham the next morning when he got up and looked towards the place where he had last spoken with the Lord. Genesis 19, 27 and 28. Genesis 19, 27 and 28. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country that went up like a smoke of the furnace. Abraham knew at that time that there had not been even 10 righteous in both cities. What was the reason that these two books were caused to be written for us? What purpose do they serve? Was it just so that we would have something to read when we had nothing else to do? Or were they caused to be written because of love? Love for those who came before us. Love for those of us that are here now. And for those who will come after us. So that we would have a chance to study them, to divide the truth, and to learn how and know the right from wrong, and to give us a chance to live with God and His Son eternally. Let's go to John. John 14. John 14, 1 to 4. Here we're told, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Expressing love again, that he's going to go someplace and have it all fixed for us if we adhere to the commandments of those two books. These two books are full of the evidence of love. And yet, I haven't touched on the greatest of all, the greatest love yet. The event that has overshadowed all else through time. The life and death of Jesus Christ. During his short life, everywhere he went, love radiated from him. His whole life was love and compassion and understanding. All of his characteristics rolled up into one, spell one thing: love. This love was for everyone, not just for his disciples or his family, those loved ones close to him. This love that he had was for all mankind. I'd like to go to Luke. Luke 7. Find out about some love. Luke 7, 12 to 15. Now when he came nigh unto the gates of the city, speaking of Jesus, behold, there was a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he was delivered to his mother. Expression of love for the one that he didn't even know. Go to Mark. Mark 5. I'm going to go to the 22nd verse. 22nd through the 24th. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay the hands on her, that she may be healed and that she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And we read as he was on his way to this Jared's home, a servant or someone from his home came and told him that his daughter died. Let's go on to the third page, to verse 36. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered that no man follow him save as Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the turmoil, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by hand and said unto her, Talithai kumi, which is being interpreted, I say unto thee, rise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was about the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Do you suppose that he raised these two people up from death just so he could say he worked another miracle? No. He had no thought of anything except for love and compassion for the widow and for the grieving mother and father. And how do we know that? Let's read the next verse, Mark 5, 43. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it. Nobody's business but theirs. And he commanded that something should be given for her to eat. He didn't miss a thing. To me, it doesn't sound like he was looking for any glory for himself. Even at his last moments on the cross, his thoughts were for others. He saw to it that his mother was cared for. Go to John 19. John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Even as he was dying, his love and compassion went out to those responsible for his crucifixion. Go to Luke 23. Thirty-fourth verse. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. What greater love could anyone have than to be able to forgive your enemies while they're killing you? Our nation was founded because of the need and search for religious freedom. because of God's love for his children who were striving to keep his commandments. The leaders of our new country were protected. Our first president, George Washington, was a man of strong beliefs and truly believed in prayer and was protected many times in the battles. I recall reading in history someplace that after one battle, he had 17 holes in his cloak and wasn't touched. Why? Because God had plans for him. George Washington was to guide this new nation on the promised land and get it back on its feet after many years of war and turmoil. Also, when we read history, we find that Lincoln was also a man of love and compassion. I read where he always took walks every morning to sort out the problems of war that weighed heavy on his shoulders. During one of these walks, he spotted a beetle that was upside down in a crack in the sidewalk. And after a few steps down the way, he stopped, turned around, and went back and turned that beetle right side up. Even though he had the weight of the war and everything on his shoulders, he still had compassion for the little insects. He wouldn't leave it there to die upside down. Such love and compassion that I'm speaking about this evening should not be practiced on this Mother's Day or Valentine's Day, Christmas, any other special day in our lives. We should extend a little love and compassion and consideration for all we meet. We need to practice it 365 days a year. We don't have to be great men like Washington or Lincoln and others to show love and compassion for one another. Christ came to this earth to teach us and to set us and everyone free from sin and taught us all that we should love and serve all mankind, not just our friends and loved ones. Go to John 15. John 15. We find what Jesus said, 10 to 14. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might be full. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than to lay his life down for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command. Greater love hath no man than the love that Jesus Christ gives to his children here on earth. we need to strive more to be like our Master if possible. Now that's the end of my sermon, but I've got something else more to say. There is another love that I haven't spoke of. That's a mother's love. God knew that love when he put his only begotten son in her care for teaching and raising. There are some of those here tonight that don't have their mothers anymore. But those that you do, make sure you give your mother a hug and a kiss and tell her you love her. I'm luckier than some. I had my mother 75 years before I lost her. I saw or heard a thing on TV yesterday. Talking about mothers. Said a mother's love is unstoppable. How true it is. And some of the shenanigans that I pulled, if it hadn't been for my mother's love, I wouldn't be talking to you tonight. So, make sure that you tell your mother you love her. And give her a hug and a kiss. Thank you for your time.